Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 7. We're going to allow this to be our launching scripture here this morning. Let's all be Presbyterian today and read this together. Are you ready? You didn't attend a Presbyterian church. I just like to do Presbyterian things sometimes. Amen. Never attended, always wanted to be. Amen. One, two, three. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generations. Ask your father and he will inform you, your elders and they will tell you. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. It is truth, it is power, it is life. And I pray, Lord, that as we receive it, Lord, as we hear it today, that we would receive it, hear it with passion, but even more than that, God, we would live it out, Lord, in the lives you've given us to live. Guide me, I pray, Lord, every word I speak, that it would be your word, not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. It's 4th of July coming up here in just a couple of days. Man, I love this country and I love the church, America. I love it so much. I really do. And holidays have the ability, you know what I'm saying, to kind of bring out reflections and bring out the nostalgia of what the season's all about. And, you know, with July 4th, just a couple of days away, how many know? I mean, we are celebrating the beginning of our country. We're celebrating the official anniversary when the 13 colonies declared their independence from the British on July 4th, 1776, which this Tuesday, America will be 241 years old. My goodness, 241 years old. I mean, wow, that's awesome. I mean, it's a time when the fireworks come out. How many love themselves some fireworks? Amen. I mean, it's a time when they start lighting up the sky and you're ready to call the police on your neighbor. Amen. Because they don't have an understanding of when curfews should probably be enacted out. But I mean, what are some of your favorite fireworks? Mortars? Mortars, yeah. Right. What else? What are some of your favorite? Are you talking these right there? It's my favorite too. Powerful. This blows me away, these type of things right here. Like I had my daughter, she was looking at these just yesterday, and she's totally unimpressed, just walking away. I'm like, what are you talking? How is this happening? Like, even with all our knowledge of science, I'm just like, man, it just keeps going and growing. Like, I love snakes, man. They're my favorite. Anybody ever do bottle rocket wars when you were a kid? How did our parents allow those things to happen? Like lighting bottle rockets and shooting them at each other. If my kids even tried those types of things, I can't even understand it. That's crazy, man. You know, it's a time, though, of celebration and a time of honor. It's a time to be thankful, July 4th, of what we have. And might I also add, also, it's a time to be thankful to the men and women in uniform who give to give us what it is that we have. Can somebody say a good amen to that? Amen. Amen. It's a time to look back and be thankful for what we as Americans have gained through the great and storied history of the U.S. of A. Man, I look at this flag, and man, I don't know the sentiments and the feelings that you get looking, and I'm sure that they are deep and they are great. But man, I look at that flag and I think it's beyond just fabric. It's the symbolism of what it represents as a country and the history included inside of what this country has and represents. This flag, how many know, represents more history than you and I could possibly hope to describe in a lifetime. I mean, all of the points of history in this country that this flag represents, from Paul Revere riding through the cobblestone streets of Boston on through to America providing intense military assistance and overthrowing the demonized dictator Adolf Hitler, to the rise of the Industrial Revolution and all the many prosperous opportunities that were afforded to so many Americans, to seeing how we bounced back from the attacks put and placed on our country on 9/11. America, how many know, is an incredible place to call home. Would you say a good amen? The United States of America. We have great history. But in that statement, how many know we also have some not so great history to our country? As great and as precious as this nation is to all of us, how many know to act like we have been the perfect nation through it all would be absolute ignorance? I mean, in looking at some of the dark parts of our nation, from the treatment of Native Americans in this country, how many know it doesn't take much just to research what the Trail of Tears is? If you've forgotten, research it online. If you have kind of allowed that knowledge to kind of fade out from the textbooks that you have seen in school, the treatment of Native Americans is indescribable in a dark chapter of history in our country. My family and I lived in Arizona for 5 years, from 2003 to 2008, and I can tell you with absolute certainty the residue of those chapters of our nation's history are still very evident and seen today. To the plague of slavery in our nation, on through to what African Americans had to fight through in the civil rights movement, what they had to battle for just decades ago. For African, watch me now, Americans, just to have the same rights as anyone else did and does. To the oppression on women, not even having a right to vote or work until August of 1920. If you think about it, this year America will be 241 years old, and women have only had the privilege and the opportunity and the honor afforded to vote and work for 97 of those years. We have, and I could go on and on, how many know what I'm talking about? We also have some dark chapters in our country's history. If I were to put a title to this talk here today, it would be this: learning from history. Learning from history. Doug, if we could put that scripture back up here today, Deuteronomy 32:7. I want to ask you a question. I mean, we read the scripture at the beginning of the talk, and I just want to kind of critically look at it here for a second. Why would God say in Deuteronomy 32:7, remember the days of old? Why would God say, I want you to regularly, I want you to routinely look back at the past? Why would God say, consider the year? The word consider in the Hebrew means to meditate on with intensity. Why would God say, I want you to consider the years of all generations? Not just the generations that did everything right. Not just the generations that brought us success. I also want you to consider the generations that did not do what they should have done, that may have created setbacks and delays and detours and distractions. Why would God say to consider your history? Why would God say to ask your father about the old days and your elders about the past? I'm certain that there are many reasons to why God would tell us to do things, and I could create a sermon series just on those intentions alone, but I'll tell you one reason why I believe God says for us to do what it is He's commanding us to do in this scripture is because tucked in every moment of our past sits priceless lessons that can be used to build a better future. How many know the past can be learned from? The past alone is a priceless well of knowledge and resource for our lives today. The past, and we can especially, and we need to especially learn from, the dark moments of our past along with the bright moments. We need to learn from the failures and the mistakes in our yesterday, because as the great Winston Churchill said, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat history. And man, that's what I see our great country doing, is we learn from our mistakes. I see our country doing that. Now, I'm not saying that we've done it completely perfect and that all is absolutely awesome now, but can I just say this? And I don't think it's going to be hard for anybody to agree. We are blessed today. As Americans, I mean, think about the rights and the privileges afforded to all of us. We are blessed today. What a great day we live in as Americans today. And we're blessed, y'all. And a gigantic part of the reason for that blessing we live in today is because of the lessons learned from the burdens lived in our yesterday. Burdens can always give way to blessing. Failures can always give way to victory. Hurt can always give way to healing if we learn from that which is behind us. It is important to learn from that which is behind us. History can teach us, friends. History shouts it loud that people and things can change. I mean, look at our country. This is what it represents. A big part of the reason when I look at our flag is that history can change. History can move forward. We can learn from the mistakes of our past and move forward to a prosperous and successful future. And again, here's the main point that I want to arrive at today. People and things and beliefs and mindset, history teaches us they can all change. That our problems don't have to live in repeat mode. We can do something about it. I was watching an interview with Oprah Winfrey, and she had a special on a few years back about the civil rights movement, and she played a video that was just heart-wrenching, and seeing some of these, it was a white man, and he was just hurling and screaming insults at a sweet young African-American girl just trying to go to school, and it showed just this disgust, and you were gripped, you wanted to go on the TV and just beat this guy for what he was, it was heart-wrenching. And she was able to track down that man, and she was able to track, Oprah was able to track down the girl, and she was able to put him in a room 30, 40 years later and just talk about it. And it was something incredible to see how healing can come from places of hurt. And she began to, and he was just in tears at what he did. He had since repented and walked away from those mindsets, and to see the change in his life and the beliefs in his life change and the mindsets change from what he says he was raised in, to look back at that and say, I don't want that in my today, and ask for forgiveness. And it was this, and to see forgiveness given and the courage for this dear woman to forgive and to see this moment, it was powerful. And Oprah kind of closed it out by asking the man, is there anything else that you'd like to say? And he said this, I wish we could learn from our history, all of us, all of us. What a powerful truth for our lives today. Today, Journey Church, on this day, let's allow this great nation to be an inspiration to our personal lives and the abilities we have in allowing the failures of our own personal past, the dark chapters of our own lives. Anybody got a dark chapter in your past? Anybody got failures and mistakes back in your yesterday? Let us allow this nation to be an inspiration for you and I to allow the failures of our personal past to create successes for our future by learning from them. Because I, for one, am thankful that we live in a time where we don't live like this, and we don't live like this, and we don't live like this anymore. Come on, somebody. How many are thankful that we live in a nation that has learned from those mistakes of our past, and we have pressed on to a better future? I'm thankful that God allows us, and again, I want to hit this point. This is the overall point of our talk here today, that God allows you and I to correct the course of our lives from the bad choices that we have made in our past. I'm thankful that God's plan wasn't created for my life based on me being perfect all the time. I'm thankful that God's plan for my life wasn't created based on me making perfect decisions all the time. That His plan can and still work even with the mistakes and the failures behind me. Come on, somebody, how many are thankful for the grace of God? Man, I'm thankful God regularly allows us to correct the course. And what I mean by correcting the course is God allows you and I the opportunity to look back on our history and repent. Repentance is a beautiful thing. Repentance is a wonderful word. I don't know the impression that you get when you hear the word repentance. Because maybe for those of you that may have a soured church history in your background, the word repentance may be associated with the long finger of a preacher who, with brimstone and fire in his voice, screams with damnation on his tongue, "Repent!" Right? Maybe that's how you associate it, but can I tell you this? The word repentance is a beautiful word. It's an incredible word because it's God's grace that allows us to change the course of where our lives were headed. The definition of repentance is simply this. Allow me to act it out for you in this skit. Thank you. Amen. That's what it means. That you're going one direction and you turn your life and go in the next. The word repentance means to turn from, to change the course of your life. What a beautiful thing. It's an amazing word that gives way to amazing things. Repentance, how many know, is much more than just "I'm sorry." And "I'm sorry" isn't bad, but "I'm sorry" alone are just expressions of feelings felt. But repentance is much more than that. Included in your sorry is an action of not allowing that failure to repeat itself in your life. It's turning the course of your life in a different direction. Repentance is a great word that should give you a wonderful impression of God's grace, love, and mercy extended to you and I to have the continued ability to right our life's wrongs. When you understand repentance, you embrace it. Embrace repentance, Journey Church, like a drowning man would embrace a life ring in an ocean, because it's all we have to get our lives in the direction that God created us to go. What a lesson for us today, that no matter how bad or how messed up we can make things, with a repentant heart, God can do anything. With a repentant heart, you can overcome anything and still achieve greatness. Understand this lesson in a personal context for your life, that with repentance, God can still get the glory in spite of the dark parts of your life story. Come on, somebody, say a good amen. With repentance, anything can happen. I'm an MMA fan. I love MMA. I love UFC. Anybody else out there, you love seeing somebody beat the face of another person. I just love it. I get peace in my life when I see that. And the bloodier it gets, the better it gets. Come on, somebody. Anybody else with me? Amen. I lost four of them, and now I got two left on that. Amen. My wife looks at me like I'm crazy. You know, like, how can you? I love this. I have the greatest Sundays when they're the bloodiest Saturday nights. It's just awesome. But I was watching this recent UFC fight where a fighter became champion, and he was never expected to be champion, but he shocked the world. He knocked out the current champion, and now he was champion. And he was a guy with a lot of losses on his record. And he became the middleweight champion of the world for UFC. And the announcer in the ring had asked him the question. He said, "Are you shocked that you're here? Because you shocked the world by what it is you did. You knocked out the current champion. You've blown the world away. What do you think? Because you got all these losses on your record. I mean, nobody would think that you could be the champion with all these losses attached to your history and your record." And I loved what he said. The fighter said, "I don't lose, I learn." And I loved that mindset. Let me tell you something. With repentance, failures don't equal defeat. With repentance, failures do not eliminate the option for success and victory in your life. With repentance, you don't lose, you learn. What about your life today? What about your life? What are some of the failures in your past that need to be properly reflected upon so you can begin to build a successful future. Because it's in your life's history that exist many of the solutions to the problems of your present. In closing, and again, I know I'm usually a lot longer, but again, this is what I felt really led to share with you in the context of this holiday weekend and this week. For you not to write off the possibility for success and victory and the dream God placed in your heart to come true. Don't write off the possibility of success. Let this nation serve as inspiration, because as this great flag so proudly represents, change can happen in the life of anyone who looks back at the dark parts of their life's history and says, I'm not going to allow that to repeat itself in my future. My father is an example of this for my family. My father grew up in very intense situations in his childhood. The hardships and the struggles and the challenges that he was handed from parents that may not have known what to do as parents, and things it was to protect the details of the situation. It was just tough. I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy what my father had to go through as a child. On through to being a teen. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. And we were talking about this just the other day, and just how thankful I am for the family that we have. But and there's several reasons for that. But I told my father one of those reasons is because you looked back at your history, and you said, this isn't going to get repeated in my future. You looked back at what he experienced in his family, and he says, this isn't going to happen in your family. To see my father put a stop required him to look back and say, I'm going to do something about this. This will not be repeated in my future. And my family is a blessed family because of that. You know, let me just take a sidebar here just for a second. One of the things I think we do is we allow the term generational curse to have way more power than it should in our lives and our families. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying generational curses don't exist, because there is evidence to what we call generational curses that exist. In science, they call it epigenetics. And epigenetics, as you know, genetics, DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, is how we're encoded, how our genes are encoded, but RNA, ribonucleic acid, is how our genes are expressed. And epigenetics, Conrad Hal Waddington actually discovered epigenetics. Groundbreaking scientists and biologists. But this is what they discover with epigenetics. That, yes, there are traits inherently handed down to us from our fathers and our grandfathers and our forefathers. Inherently handed down to us. But they are activated by choice. In other words, you're not bound to be an alcoholic because your father or your mother was an alcoholic. I'm preaching to somebody right now. You're not bound to live angry because your father lived angry. You're not bound to repeat adultery in your life because your parents had that in your life. You're not bound to struggle with pornography because your parents struggled with pornography. Do you hear what I'm saying right now? You have the ability to choose what genes will be activated in your life and expressed in your life, and what genes will not. And this is what they said the power of epigenetics is. The power of epigenetics is, even if you were to activate that gene, guess what? It says you have the power by choice to turn it off, like a light switch. So no more excuses of, well, I'm just angry because my father was angry. You know the key, Roses. Anybody ever said that about your own family? Or even heard that from somebody else? Don't live in that life. We give those things way more power than they should. You have the power. God has given you the opportunity to repent and turn your life in a different direction. Generational curses can easily be broken by your choice. And a big part of that is looking back and saying, I don't want that in my today. And I'm going to do something about it. That's the definition of the word repent. Come on, somebody. Doing whatever it takes to ensure the failures of your past are not repeated in the days of your present and future. My favorite movie is two movies. I just can't pick. There's two of them out there, man, and they're just vying for that top spot. They hang out together. The first one is called Tombstone. I love Tombstone. I lived in Arizona. I went there 4 times. Missy's like, why do we got to go again? Because it happened. Wyatt walked here. Doc shot somebody here. Like, I just want to be there. I love that movie. But the second movie that just is on that number one pedestal there is a movie called Glory. Stars Matthew Broderick, Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman, and a cast of others that are just incredible. And I first watched that movie when I was in 9th grade, when I was a freshman, Mr. Cheney's history class. I think it was one of his first years of teaching around that time, back in 1991. And I was blown away at that movie. I love history. I had a D in history. I had an F in all the other classes. That shows you how much I loved history. Amen. I was in 9th grade, so I was kind of stoned out. I was in drugs and all that stuff. But I loved history. I had a 0.9 grade point average. But I passed history. Amen. I'm not giving validation to bad grades. I just want to say that. I came to know Christ my sophomore year of high school, and my cumulative GPA ended at a 3.1. So I don't want to validate stupid. Amen. When you are saved, you can be smart. Take it from me. Amen. You just got to try. I was the senior in math class with all freshmen. Going, that was me. But I passed. Amen. And I got there. I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh, yeah. Glory. Amen. I love that movie. It's a movie about the infamous 54th Regiment out of Massachusetts. And it's a story of what African Americans had to do to help the North achieve victory. As African Americans could not become soldiers in a war, in a nation whose laws prohibited them from even being able to fight for the very freedom that was being fought for. It's a powerful movie. As I see just them come together, black and white, for this cause, to correct the course of our nation. And the scene in the movie I'm about to show you just displays the end of that movie when Colonel Robert Shaw, played by Matthew Broderick, leads the charge to take Fort Wagner, owned by the South at the time, ran by the South. A powerful moment happened in this movie. Check this out. Seen that movie, it's a powerful display. History tells of that story to be the battle that inspired tens of thousands of other African-American soldiers and white soldiers to come together in companies and help turn the tide create victory in the Civil War. When people stand to do whatever it takes, looking back on the dark chapter of the past, this movie displays people doing whatever it takes to ensure that the sin of inequality did not rule in the future of this nation. And I love the title of that movie, Glory. Because through it all, lessons were learned and hearts were turned. And this nation as a whole, and again, I'm not saying we're a perfect nation, but we begin to see this nation as a whole finally begin to embrace the tenet of truth that all men and women are created equal.